Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. People within the church are often told to be busy doing the gospel and mission, and then everything will take care of itself. This and other like sayings are often used to dissuade the church from coming to grips with the weighty doctrinal issues of the day. In other words, if we are reaching out with the gospel, then we will be too busy to care about these other lesser issues. Paul and Barnabas had been going about the area of what is now Turkey. They had suffered at the hands of jealous Jews. They had preached the gospel to many. They had done so much that some thought that they were Greek gods. However, they were merely servants of the one true God. Before leaving the area, they appointed elders, that is, pastors, to stand in Christ's stead within the congregations that were founded. After all of this, they departed and went up to Jerusalem to meet with the other church leaders to decide if they would continue to follow Christ and his gospel, or whether they would return to a works-righteous religion. As you heard, a group of Christians who had been Pharisees thought that in order to be saved, one must follow the entire law of Moses, both the ceremonial portion and also the commandments. These men did not think that Christ's death was enough. They taught that one must also be circumcised in order to be saved. This party of Pharisees among the Christian brethren forgot that Abraham himself believed and was credited as righteous before he was circumcised. Now, this demand for circumcision was no small item to discuss. So even in the midst of all of their work, the apostles and other elders set all of it aside for a time in order to make sure that such abusive teaching was corrected in the light of God's word. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. All of the scriptures, including the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial law, are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The ceremonial law, which has passed away and is no longer in effect, served to point to Christ's purity and his own sacrifice on behalf of sinners. The commandments showed us that we were completely incapable of doing what God demands to be done in order for us to be saved, to enter into heaven. The only one who could fulfill this was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary. He fulfilled the whole law by keeping it in love and obedience to the Father. He fulfilled the whole law in love and mercy for sinners, for you, for me, for the whole world. He was circumcised under the law on that blessed eighth day. On that day, he first shed his blood, pointing to the time when he would be cut off from both God and his people as he shed his blood upon the cross. The price of our being brought back to God was fully paid by Christ. What more could we do to bring about our salvation? Nothing. For we are all beggars before God. Thus, the keeping of the whole law of Moses by the children of Adam was not and is not necessary for salvation. Jump forward a number of centuries, and a similar debate would take place among the evangelical church. One part would say that good works are necessary for salvation. Another group would say good works are harmful to salvation. These two groups were polar opposites, and they were both wrong. After years of turmoil within the church, the Concordats took up this question in light of Scripture, and they confessed, as do we, "We reject and condemn the teaching that good works are necessary for or to salvation." Again, we also reject and condemn that bold statement that good works are detrimental to salvation. The Concordists affirm that Christians will do good works, not from a fear of punishment like a slave, but out of a love of righteousness, like a child. Our good works do not and could not cause our justification and salvation. The good works flow from justification and salvation. Good works are done by Christians as we abide in Christ. Thus, we as Christians can begin to keep the Ten Commandments only because Christ has already fulfilled them for us. Therefore, we are not only led by the Holy Spirit to shun such things as hurting our neighbor and sexual immorality, but we are also led by that same Spirit to help our neighbor and to love and honor our spouse by leading a sexually pure and decent life. What about our day and age? Some want us to focus only on what good we can accomplish, leaving behind these doctrinal issues. Others want pastors to preach only justification, that is, a person's being declared righteous before God on account of Christ. These want no part of the preaching of sanctification, that is, the holy life springing from the fount of righteousness. Here again, both are wrong. Doctrinal issues are important because false teaching weakens or nullifies among us the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of his death for our salvation. Preaching without speaking of sanctification is preaching only half the message. Luther describes those who will preach only justification as Easter preachers. But only those who speak both justification and sanctification can be said to be Pentecost preachers. For you see, not only should those standing in Christ's stead preach about salvation in Christ, but also preach about the gift of the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit is at work sanctifying you day by day. As one of our finest and oldest Lutheran hymns confess, faith clings to Jesus' cross alone and rests in him unceasing. And by its fruits true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify. Works serve our neighbor and supply the proof that faith is living. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been set free from your sins. You are forgiven in Jesus' blood. Do not look now to a circumcision of the flesh. Rather, continually let your heart be circumcised. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received, the calling to abide in Christ, and live as true children of the Heavenly Father. And although you cannot fully keep the law and the commandments, it has already been kept by Christ in your stead. Now, he calls on you to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. Brethren, those who are ordained and those who are training to be ordained, preach the full counsel of God. Those whose primary task in the service is as hearers, cherish the ones who do preach the full counsel of God, and in this case, both justification and sanctification. Know this as you live your life in Christ. Although Christ calls on you to lead that holy life, yet you will still cry out, as did St. Paul. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that is what I practice. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You baptized saints are forgiven in Christ. In Christ you are made able to love and help your neighbor. And when you fail, as do we all, you are still forgiven in Christ and have that forgiveness delivered ever anew to you in his gospel and especially in holy absolution. After being forgiven in private confession and absolution, the Christian is to be exhorted and encouraged by scriptures in the holy living. Christ's forgiveness, my dear saints, is also delivered to you in his own body and blood. Truly, life has come and will continue to come to you in his blessed words, his blessed word and sacraments. Because these have delivered forgiveness to you and built you up in the saving faith in Christ, you and all believers in Christ, the true children of Abraham, will be taken beyond the Jordan to the endless Sabbath rest on heaven's endless shore. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the gloria, the glory. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.